And I'll read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might have accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. When the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." Let's have a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this true account of the history of Daniel and King Darius and challenges of believers that they faced years before we even came on the scene. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless today, that you'd help me as I preach, that you'd help us as we listen to learn and apply the Word of God to our life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You could say that Daniel was about to have a really bad day. Daniel was found praying as he had always prayed. And when they found him praying, they ran right back to the king. And the king's heart sunk because he loved Daniel. Daniel is noted as being 10 times better than the astrologers, the soothsayers, the most intelligent people that stood before the king. Daniel was 10 times better than them. He had an excellent spirit in him. He was sold out for God in his own right. But he was about to have a really bad day. The king was stuck by the law of the Medes and Persians. He had signed this decree into law, and the king, unlike Obama, was going to follow the law. Amen. He wasn't going to rewrite it. He was there just merely to make sure it was enforced. Sorry, I had to get that plug in. I'm so happy now. There's just hope for this country once again. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Pray for your president. Amen. Pray for your president. Pray for your vice president. Praise God, we have a godly man in office. And he's so close to the president, so influential over him. Lift them up high in prayer. But here Daniel is found about to have a really bad day. Probably a worse day than any of us have had. He got thrown into the lion's den. Some of us may feel like we've been there sometimes. Or stayed up all night worrying. But we've had bad days. They say, you know, it's going to be a bad day when you wake up in the morning and you fall out of bed. You know you're going to have a bad day when you put both contact lenses in the same eye. You know you're going to have a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a buzzard. Or when you call the suicide hotline and they put you on hold. You know you're going to have a bad day when your horn goes off and remains stuck as you follow a group of bikers. Or when you go into work and your boss says, it's okay, you don't need to take your coat off.
Yeah.
You know you're going to have a bad day. Well, Daniel was about to have a really bad day. But unlike a lot of people that have a bad day, Daniel didn't give in to the pressure. He didn't cave. Amen? He stood true. Praise the Lord for that. We as Christians should take something from that. The Korean War started in June 25th, 1950. And during the 3 years of the Korean War, it said that 7,000 Americans were captured and undergo such intense brainwashing that some of them even ended up cursing their country, spitting on their flag, disowning their own mothers. Can you imagine? Now we can't say that we wouldn't do anything different. You know, don't judge a man unless you walk the mile in his own shoes. But we would hope, amen, that we wouldn't give in to the pressure. Well, so many in this Christian life are giving in to the pressure of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're caving. And I want to challenge you today to try to dare to be like Daniel. Amen? Look with me today at Daniel's dedication. Daniel was dedicated. It said here that, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. This was a man that was totally sold out for God. They looked for something wrong with him. They looked for something that they could get him on. They looked for a way to knock his legs out from under him. But he was totally dedicated to the Lord. And he was probably 80 or 90 years of age at this point. He was an old man. But he decided when he was younger to live for God. And he withstood the pressure all the way up to this point. Amen? He was a man that was dedicated. A man that was dedicated, first of all, to the Word of God. Notice with me again, Daniel 6:5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. These men had trapped him. They had baited him. They knew that Daniel was going to stay true to the Word of God. He was dedicated to living out the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. And they knew, if we're going to catch this guy, if we're going to be able to get rid of this guy, this righteous fella that's up in charge of all the land, then we're going to have to do it according to the Bible. Because Daniel just simply believed the Bible. He just simply decided, I'm going to live true to the Bible. And why shouldn't he? Amen? The Word of God's been proven true time and time again. There's a story of an Israelite policeman that caught a bunch of smugglers coming into Israel. And the smugglers were able to get away, and all they could do was catch their donkeys. The donkeys were pulling the cart. And so they got these donkeys, and the smugglers ran away, and they didn't know where these guys lived because they'd crossed the border into Israel. But they knew the Word of God. They knew it. The Bible says that the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, in Isaiah 1:3. And so they just simply took these donkeys, and they let them go without food for a few days. Then they turned them free. And they followed them all the way to their owner's house. And they busted these guys. Listen, the Word of God is true from beginning to end. Amen? If we can't believe the Bible and what it says in Genesis chapter 1, then how can we believe what it says in Revelation chapter 22 and what it says about heaven? It's got to go all together. It's a full package. If we can't believe what it says in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, then boy, hundreds of years of history there. The creation of the world, the creation of man, the fall of man, the flood of the world, the Tower of Babel. Just hundreds of years in that, just the first 11 chapters of the Word of God. If we can't take that in and say, you know what, I believe every word is true, and I'm going to live according to every word, then how in the world can we say we trust John 3:16?
Yeah.
It all goes together. It's the Word of God, and it's true. And if people can't find occasion against us except it be for the Word of God, so be it. Praise the Lord. Let's live according to the Word of God. Let's dare to be like a Daniel. Charles Spurgeon said, the Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to somebody who isn't. Amen? Let's wear our Bibles out. Let's get it deep down inside of us. Let's understand that the key to victory are the three words, it is written. Let's get in the Word of God. Daniel was dedicated to the Word of God. Secondly, I want you to notice, he was dedicated to the will of God. The Bible says in Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so he knew that the writing was signed, amen? He knew that if he went in to pray, that he was going to be in a heap load of trouble. But the will of the people and the will of the king and the will of the other leaders didn't replace the will of God for Daniel. He was dedicated to it. As a youth, he purposed in his heart he wasn't going to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. And he lived faithful and true all the way through. He started right and he was going to end right. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where we get that thought for this week. Apply thyself wholly to the Scriptures, and let the Scriptures be applied wholly to thee. Just absorb yourself. Find out what the Bible is telling you to do. What is the will of God for your life? And do it. Just stick to it. Just be dedicated. Dare to be a Daniel. I don't understand how some people can read the Bible, but never apply its truths. And never obey the will of God for their life. I just don't understand it. It doesn't matter what kind of education, what kind of background you have. You get saved and the Lord just erases all that. It's from that point forward.
Amen.
You live for Him.
Amen.
D.L. Moody, a great preacher out in Chicago years back, a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon in England, was preaching his heart out in earnest one service. And there's a rather educated man sitting on the platform. And as D.L. Moody got done, the educated man came up to him and he said, that was a great sermon, but I noticed 11 grammatical errors while you were speaking. Way to inflate the preacher, amen? Oh, you just want to keep him humble, I understand. He just was simply broken. And he said, I know. He said, I wish that my education would have been different. I wish that I'd become more learned and gotten a proper education so that I could expound greatly on the Word of God. But he said, what education I did get, I just decided to surrender it to God. How is it with you?
Amen.
Oh, well, the man didn't have anything to say to that, amen. I'm just simply taking what I know and what I believe is right according to the Word of God and according to His will for my life, and I'm just giving it all to Jesus. Dare to be a Daniel, amen? Dedicate yourself to the Word of God. Dedicate yourself to the will of God for your life. I want you to notice, secondly, that Daniel had discipline. He had discipline in his public life. He was a man that lived in control of his own body. Daniel 6:4 says, then the presidents and priests, princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Well, that should be the way for every person, shouldn't it? That should be the way it is for us. You know why Daniel was favored by so many? You know why he was labeled as somebody that was 10 times better and said of him that he had an excellent spirit about him? Probably this one word, integrity. He was an honest man. He was a morally principled man. He was able to control himself, to live right. The King Nebuchadnezzar and his army flooded Jerusalem early in his life, and he found as just a young boy, he was taken from his home, taken from his family, taken from the city, taken captive from Jerusalem, from all he knew, to the country of Babylon. And here he was going to be raised, and he was going to be a servant of servants, unlike anybody else in the country. They took him as slaves. But that didn't stop him from living right, amen? You think, talk about having a bad day and having everything, all the guns pointed against you. Daniel had it from an early age, but he decided, I'm going to be disciplined still. And as they looked for him, they couldn't find anything but integrity in his life. They probably couldn't see anything but the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the preacher in England, London, England, in the late 1800s, one day had a blackmailer come to him and said, you know, we've got this information about you, and we're going to make it public unless you give us our demands. And he just simply said to him, I've got nothing to hide. Tell everything you know about me. Amen. People should be able to look at us and not find fault. They should be able to look at us and see Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the intention. That's the goal, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of Zacchaeus. The crowds thronged around the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus, just a little man. I want to see the Lord, but I can't because of the crowd pressing against him. So he had to climb up into a tree because of the people were blocking the view of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let it not be so in our life that people can't see the Lord Jesus Christ because of the faults. Let's have some discipline. Let's dare to be like Daniel's and have some control in our public life. Not only was he disciplined in his public life, but I want you to notice he was disciplined in his prayer life. Daniel 6:10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Notice this. As he did aforetime. Daniel didn't start praying because the problems came. He didn't just all of a sudden decide, I really need God in this matter, because they've signed a decree, and if I get caught making any plea to my God within 30 days, I'm going to be in trouble. No, he was already dedicated to 3 times a day. He was going to break that law 90 times in the next month. And he just decided, hey, I'm dedicated to prayer. I'm not just going to start now. I'm just not going to stop. Amen. I'm just going to pray all the way through this thing and trust God's going to help me. Bible tells us to pray. Bible commands us to pray. Luke 18:1, the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 6:12, and it says that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus himself says, pray ye. In Matthew 6:9, 9:38, and 24:20, Jesus says, pray ye. In Mark 13:18 and Luke 10:2, James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Peter 4:7 says, we are to watch unto prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, we are to pray without ceasing. The Bible, when it tells you something once, it's important. But when it tells you over and over and over again, it's super important. Amen? Prayer is the Christian having fellowship with God. We need to pray. We need to talk. It doesn't matter what kind of decree they might sign in America. Christians still need to be disciplined enough to pray. Amen. Disciplined enough to talk to God. I heard of a family, they would always pray before they ate. And one of the little quips that they would say in their prayer was, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." The little girl was taking her turn praying around the family table one day, and she got to that point where she was just going to repeat what Mom and Dad said, and she popped her head up and she said, "I don't want to say that. Because guests come for just a little while and then they leave. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be here with us all the time."
Amen.
Let's dare to be like Daniel. Let's dare to be dedicated to the Word of God, dedicated to the will of God, disciplined in our public life. So when people really scrutinize us, all they can blame us for is, "Well, he's just a sold out Christian. She's just somebody that's in love with Jesus Christ." And it's only going to happen as we spend private time in our prayer closet, secretly with Him. Be disciplined in your prayer life. I want you to notice the Word of God doesn't say that He complained either. It just says He prayed. It doesn't say He felt sorry for Himself. It just says He prayed. And they, the king and the presidents and the other princes, they realize He is making a petition. There is something that just went. It just happened. Everyone noticed it, just like usual. Be dedicated. Be disciplined. Thirdly, have a daring faith. Have a daring faith. Notice about Daniel, he had a faith that attempted something. We talked about faith on Wednesday night in Bible study. And what a great truth from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 about faith, about trust in the Lord. Notice in Daniel 6:10, the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God, as he did afore." Can you picture this? Do you know what kind of weight would have been on his shoulder? You can almost see him, as you read this verse, not seeming to care what might be the result, not being negative at all, but just deciding, "I'm going to stay positive. I'm just going to do what God... I'm just going to attempt to live out the Word of God in a wicked world, and I'm just going to let God sort it out." Can you see that? There's no ambiguity there. There's no complaining. There's no feeling sorry for yourself. He just simply has a good attitude. He saw God was his only hope, and he decided, "I'm going to stay positive." There's a lot to be said for staying positive. But if you can learn to stay positive, you can get through the tough times. It'll just help you through, you know. Every Christian's life is like a roller coaster. We have our ups, and then we have our downs. But those ups give you the momentum, the inertia, to carry you through the downs, back up the ups again. You just stay positive. You just allow that inertia to carry you through any friction that's trying to hold you back. Amen? Stay positive. I think of 3 people that went to the Grand Canyon. One of them was a preacher. Another one was an artist. And then the third one was we'll call him a Dallas Cowboy. Amen. A real cowboy. And they lined up on the edge of the Grand Canyon. They looked out, and the preacher said, "Wow, what a wonderful picture of God's masterpiece." Has anyone been in the Grand Canyon? Yeah, amen. You've been everywhere. You're driving around. We're thankful you came back today and visited us. What a blessing. The artist looked at the Grand Canyon scene. "Wow, what a wonderful picture to paint." You know, and the Dallas Cowboy looked and he said, "What an awful place to lose your cow." Yeah, you're right about that. Pray for us. We have a little bull. And we had a guy come over, and we got him in a stall, and it took him a good hour to get the harness on him. We waited way too long, but we want to start halter breaking him. So we got the harness on him, and we just want him to be friendly, and you know, so when he gets big and heavy, he won't run us over, hopefully. Anyway, he got his harness off. It's out in the field somewhere, and now we got to go through it all again. So, but stay positive. You're never too old to be used of God. Amen?
Amen.
Daniel may have been 80 or 90 years of age. He may have been stooped over. He may have seen his best years when he was younger and seen God provide. He didn't have to go through another battle, but yet he decided, you know what? I'm going to let my excellent spirit permeate my character, and I'm just going to carry on for God. I'm not too old for this. Careful you don't get in cruise control. Heard of a newly retired couple, they'd taken their life savings, and careful now back there. They'd taken their savings and bought themselves a motorhome. And it had a fancy thing on it called cruise control. You know, it was new age. They didn't know much about it, they just knew, boy, this it'll drive itself. My husband started off driving, he drove for several hours. And he called his wife to the front and said, "Honey, I'm tired. I'm going to go and take a nap. Why don't you take it?" And me and Andrew did this while we had our motorhome. We'd leave it on cruise control, and she'd slip in, and I'd slip out, and we'd just, you know, we wouldn't have to stop that way. Just keep driving the road. Well, the lady sat in the driver's seat with it on cruise control, sat there for an hour or so looking around, driving. She decided she had to go to the bathroom. True story. She got up to go to the bathroom. Rolled their motor home going full speed down the highway. Don't get in cruise control in your Christian life. Dare to be, have faith that attempts that'll keep going on for God. You know, Peter gets criticized all the time for getting his eyes off Jesus and getting his eyes on the storm and sinking in the water. Why doesn't he get praised a little more for getting out of the boat, for attempting to do something for God, for just taking Jesus at his word and saying, "Okay, I'm coming," and hopping over the water? Amen. Have a daring faith that attempts to do something for God. Secondly, he had a faith that attempts. Sorry, I had to miss that.
The character was wonderful.
Oh.
Accepts.
Okay, try this one. Oh man, I didn't change that. And the second one, this one's accepts. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The first one's attempts, second one's accepts. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Boy, man, this PowerPoint. I'm just going to go back to preaching the workout.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions," and like we said in England, full stop. Just a period. No restraining of Daniel. It's just like he just, okay, I'll just accept it. No fighting. You know, us as Christians sort of get our backs up sometimes. We think we got to go through a hard time. God's letting us know. He just decided, I'm just going to have faith, accept this is the will of God for my life, and I'm not going to kick a fit or throw a fuss. I'm just going to accept this is my lot in life right now. And by the way, Christian, you may have to suffer a little bit. And he did. But God didn't forget about him, did he? But compare him and compare us to the early disciples. It says that Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark expired at Alexandria after having been cruelly dragged through the streets. Luke was hanged upon an olive tree in Greece. John was boiled in oil and then banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James the Greater was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was beaten to death with a fuller's club. Philip was hanged up against a pillar at Hierapolis in Perga. Andrew was bound to a cross where he preached until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Paul was beheaded at Rome by the Emperor Nero. Boy, we don't have it so bad, do we? I mean, all we have to do is walk up to somebody as the Holy Spirit leads us, give them a gospel tract, and ask them, you know, are you 100% sure if you die today that you go to heaven? And maybe have them say, I don't want that. What's so bad, is it? It sure beats getting your head cut. I was over in England starting a church, and I went to this one building called the Tithe Barn. And I thought, that's a great place to start a church, the Tithe Barn. It belonged to the Anglican Church. It used to be a proper barn where the farmers would bring 10% of their crop, and they would dump it in the middle of the Tithe Barn. There was big archways, and the wind would blow through, and as they beat that wheat, the chaff would blow off, and they'd have just the grain left. Called the Tithe Barn, owned by the Anglican Church. 800 years old, just across the field from my house. A lot of history there. So I called them. I said, "Hi, I'm a new church planter in town and starting a church, and I'd like to know if I could rent your facility." They said, "Well, what are you? What denomination?" I said, "Baptist." And they said, "No, that would be a conflict of interest." I said, "What do you mean? Well, I'm just teaching the King James Bible. You teach the King James Bible, don't you?" They said, "Yes, we do." I said, "Well, I'm just teaching the same book. Just preaching the gospel. I just want to know why. That would be a conflict of interest. You see, you're in our parish. You're in our area. This area belongs to us, and you're a Baptist." I couldn't get her to reason with me. I'm thinking, I'm trying to give you money, lady. Amen. I'm going to rent this in faithfully a couple times a week. Well, rent it to me. And then I hung up the phone and I thought, well, if all she can do is say no, it's not like she cut my head off. It's not so bad. You know, I can carry on. And I called around. We found a better place. We found a community center. And then God gave us our own building. He worked through that negative circumstances in our life. I just had to be willing to accept that, yay, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you're not suffering persecution, maybe you're not living godly. That's the alternative. Amen? And so we've got to be ones that accept it. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Have a faith, have a daring faith like Daniel. Lastly, that accomplishes. That accomplishes. The next morning, the king, who hasn't slept all night, but has decided, "I'm going to fast and pray for my friend Daniel, who I had to throw in because it was law." He gets up early in the morning, he looks down, and he says, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." He saw his faith come to fruition. Faith is the, say it with me, the substance of things. If you're not truly believing in God, well, how do you expect anything to materialize in your life? It's the substance of things hoped for. You will see things accomplished and gained in your life as you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, as you dare to have a faith that accepts and attempts and accomplishes things for God. Amen? Look at the last verse, if you're there, in Daniel chapter 6. In verse 28. "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." What happened? He just lived through that king And he lived into the next king, and God just kept prospering him, and God kept blessing him. It wasn't the end of it. Let me ask you today, would you dare to be like Daniel? Live a dedicated life, live a disciplined life, live a life of daring faith, where you just trust God for it. And when people scrutinize you, they just see somebody that's believing the Lord. That's all they can hold you for. That's not a bad thing, amen? If you persevere in the Christian life, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Hold on through the tough times. Stay positive. And God will bless. Let's pray today, shall we? Let's pray.